We are live streaming right now with our, I can't pronounce the word.
Patreon.
Yes, I don't like pronouncing it because I know I'm going to mess it up. So,
if you're at a certain reward level, and you can go to Patreon and look at the different reward levels we have. But if you're at, and I believe this starts at the $10 reward level and up, you get to see us do a show live. Live stream.
And it may not be an ask. It might be something.
Yeah, it could switch. It could be a review. It could be a conversation. It could be...
It's going to be dead in hip-hop. It's going to be dead in hip-hop. You're going to get us live.
Behind the scenes, unedited. Hey guys, welcome back. It is I, your host, So. And we are here with the guys.
Oh, that's the dude.
The Soap!
No, y'all don't got a name.
That's
no.
A Snapchat the Soap.
My bad.
No,
yeah. This is
not.
The Soap. She got an EP coming out with Tyga this year.
I'm sorry, I'm not under.
The Soap. The Soap EP.
The Soap.
You can't sleep on me.
Anyways, we're on Snapchat now, so follow us at Dead and Hip Hop on Snapchat. Uh-huh. Ken will be posting fun things for you. We have a question here from David, and he wants to know, as somebody who is obsessed with understanding the history of music I listen to, can you guys explain why artists such as J Dilla and MF Doom are regarded as the huge influences they are? I haven't been listening to hip hop that long, and I'm trying to figure out how artists have influenced modern hip hop and music in general. Thanks a lot.
Go ahead, B. Get him.
Get him, B.
Say
something about Dilla? What?
He said Dilla was whack.
He wants to know why they're like such big influences.
So influential. Why are they so influential?
He's new to hip hop.
Cause they
school him on game. Put him on.
Put me on.
Oh my god.
Come on, man.
I mean, it's Dilla, man.
Yeah, man. Look. It's some kid B that like he's just getting into hip hop. He found us. He loves us. He's like, yo, those dudes are dope. But I don't get why all of these other people are so dope right now.
But
so
they just, like acquired taste though, almost like.
But what?
Acquired taste? I mean, MF Doom.
Let's talk about Dilla.
Yeah, Doom, yeah.
So why is Dilla so influential? Like, why do so many producers, hip hop artists? You know what I'm saying? From your perspective, why is he so influential?
For real, B.
It don't have to be like, why do you like?
No, it's not. It's not that, man. He just wants to know what. Why are people obsessed with J Dilla?
Because they are
here.
I think people are going nuts over J Dilla. I mean, they just jumping the train. I think just because he passed away. Ever since he's passed away, I think a lot of people. Yeah,
there's a lot of it.
Ooh,
Trick gonna get your ass.
I just wouldn't expect
you to say that. Yeah. Okay, well take them out the equation. Like why do verified beatmakers love Dilla? Why does fucking Q-Tip love Dilla? Yeah. Why does Madlib? Why does fucking Ninth Wonder? Why do you love Dilla?
I think just the way he catches his samples and the way he, I mean, it's, oh God.
You were on a roll, people were there. You were there.
It's just the way he finds, cause like, as someone that makes beats as well, and then other producers, like when you listen to a sample and you be like, oh, okay, I find this, but the way he catches the samples and the way he loops them, the way he sequences them, it's just like amazing. It's really hard. I don't know if you were really, if people, only beat makers will get it.
You
I don't think like,
beam?
No.
You calling us dumb?
No, but I think even if you watch some of the documentaries and
yeah, because even that other producers say it. Like, they just be like, yo, I don't know how he find certain, like, I would have never found that in that sample, the way that J Dilla found that in that sample. And you hear, you be like Black Milk even did it. Black Milk, like, listen to it and be like, this, I listen to this sample and then I just shake my head like, this motherfucker here. Because, like, this is Black Milk, someone who was established, well-known producer in the game, and it's like for him to hear a sample and be like, "Duh, I would have never thought of that shit." Like for him to say that, for Pharrell to say that, for Dr. Dre to say that, for Pete Rock to say that, and Pete Rock influenced J Dilla first, and Pete Rock was like, "Look, for me to be influenced, J Dilla has influenced me like big time." Mm-hmm. Like, and this is Pete Rock. We're talking about like nigga that was like considered the
Soul
the,
Brother.
Yeah, like, yeah, the Soul Brother number one. Soul Brother number one. And you looking up to J Dilla. Like, this is a guy I'm inspired because the way he flips his samples, his soul samples, is like amazing.
So he took producing to another level.
Into another level.
But it was a level only he was really kind of
able to do. And not just hip hop. He does it in jazz. He does it in R&B. You know what I'm saying? So for him to, like, flip that Erykah Badu. Like when he did Erykah Badu, Didn't You Know? People was like, people didn't even know that was J. Dilla that did that. They was like, what the hell? And like the jazz sample that he used, people was like, dog. Like, people just like gave up. Like, dog, I would have never like thought for him to think of some shit like that. So that's why J. Dilla is so influential. He's influential on me, because ever since I heard Fantastic Volume 2, that like really got me into wanting to make beats. So that's how J. Dilla is so important to me.
Yeah. Thank you, B. Yeah, that was not hard, and you're the only one that can do that.
Right.
Oh, I mean, Ken can try. You're the only one that can do that.
What were some of those beats or samples that, when you first heard, players, made you go
players,
crazy?
Players. It was, damn it, someone corrected me before. I can't believe I don't know this sample. But it was off of Slum Village Volume 2, Fantastic Volume 2. The song is called Players. And when I first heard the sample, I was like,
players.
Yeah, but players. They don't say that though.
Oh, wow.
They don't say players. It's, they say
get
Claire. They say Claire.
Dang. Get him, man.
But the way he sampled, the way he flipped that, he make you think. And of course, you know, the context of the album is them talking about being players. So when you hear the Claire, like you think he's saying players, but he's saying Claire. And like the way he is like,
no, I'm talking to soul. I'm trying to make you listen.
Don't be rude.
Are you listening?
Don't be rude.
Talk that knowledge, B.
Yeah, stupid. Yeah, that's what I mean by example of like, that's why J. Dilla is so special, because he can the way he flips his samples is like, it's second to none. It's crazy. The only person I can damn near put on that level is Madlib. Madlib is the only person, because when J. Dilla first heard Madlib, a lot of people don't know, but Donuts was really influenced, like kind of Matt had a lot of Madlib influence in it. Yeah, I don't know, of course, I listened to J. Dilla a lot of beats, but that's when I started hearing a lot of transitions during the Fish Scale, because, you know, J. Dilla produced some of Ghost Joints, and it's like, when you listen to that J. Dilla compared to the Slum Village, Q-Tip era, the Tribe Called Quest J. Dilla, you can tell, you can start seeing some of the Madlib influence. Now, you know, that's that, because J. Dilla was amazed by Madlib, so that would be the only person I would put, like, right there. What was that review you said where you was like, ALP or something? He was like, he was right on your ass. ASAP was right. Like, yeah. Like that's how I feel with J. Dilla. It's like, J. Dilla's right here, but like, Madlib is like.
So you think if Madlib like goes on a little bit longer, like maybe in 5, 6, 7 years, people will hold him to the same
regard? Oh, I think a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah, people hold him now. People hold him now.
It's just not on the people level of J. Dilla.
But I think, since J. Dilla passed away, it's always been an, oh my God, now all of a sudden.
Right.
Motherfucker, you don't even know Slum Village first album, all of a sudden J. Dilla. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's getting more pubs since he's passed away.
Didn't House Shoes have a rant about that?
Yep.
Over on Twitter?
He
does it a lot, but he just recently had a rant about people jumping on the J. Dilla bandwagon.
It's like, you know, I mean, I get it. Like I said, the artists, like the producers that been up on them before, Dr. Dre, Pharrell, like all of those, these great amazing producers, he's your producer's favorite producer. Like, that's how dope J. Dilla is. Like, and it ain't like,
that's kind of like what it boils down to, really.
Yeah, he's your producer. Yeah. I mean, like I said, you
can influence basically everybody right now that's making good beats.
That's making great beats, man. Like, you can, and like I said, when I didn't even know Dre messed with J. Dilla, and this was before J. Dilla passed away. And I was like, to hear what Dre was saying about him, I was like, this dude is crazy. It's like
so
crazy.
Just one of them things that the industry just knows, like, you know, everybody.
Yeah,
knows,
like I said, Pharrell, like the dudes who know, like they know, like, yo, this motherfucker is serious. Like, he is so serious. Yeah. Like, he blew Q-Tip away. Like, Q-Tip, you made classic albums with Quest, with Tribe Called Quest, and you freaking blown away by this dude from Detroit who was making beats in his basement with a wall full of records. Dude, like that's
you know what you should tell that dude to do? Tell him to go on YouTube and watch that documentary.
It's like,
what's the documentary?
Well, you know what? I can't think of the name of it, but there's one that I think is better than the other two. It's the one where they go to his house.
His house.
And Common, they go in his basement. Was Common in his basement?
Yep. No. Common wasn't in this one. This was like a bunch of like his homeboys. Like, they go in his basement and they're pulling out records. What is that dude's name? He starts crying. He's like, man, like, the dude had every fucking record. He's pulling them out. He's just like, he pulled the sample off of this on this song, and you would never even think to go even look at this record. If I can think of the name of it, I'll send it to you if you want to put it in the description, or I can send it to that dude, whatever. But
yeah,
that's the one I saw this years ago. That's the one where I was like, wow, this dude is serious. But I can't get with the technicalities like you can.
Oh, okay.
I'm just watching it from a digger standpoint of where this dude was, and his mom is on it. And his mom is talking about how he would come home.
Isn't on that one?
He wasn't in the basement. He might be in the documentary, but there's a specific
scene. It's three of them though. So
but I don't know the name of this particular one, but it was really good. But there's a specific part where they're in the basement and he has boxes of records. And his mom would just say he would come home with a stack of records, even while he was sick.
Yeah,
he was saying he was still getting records.
When he was sick with lupus on his deathbed, he made like half a donut.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was like, dude, like on that MP, the MPC 3000. He was on that joint, like fucking going crazy, man. Like anybody know that's like J Dilla's choice of weapon is the MPC 3000. Like that joint is crazy.
Is that what you got?
No.
Poser. Anyway, Doom.
Doom, yeah.
You. Hey. Why do I love that's Doom? Hard.
Yeah, like why? Well, like
what? So, just what am I doing?
No.
Thank you. Fact. Come on, it's not even that cold in here no
come
more.
On now.
No, it's not that cold in here. I'm actually getting warm. Shit.
Like, why do people talk about him so much?
Like, because nobody had rhyme patterns like him. I feel like when the fact that this dude came out with KMD years ago, he was already ahead of his time then with rhyme patterns. The way I look at Doom is kind of the same way I look at Kool G Rap. Like those dudes with their rhyme patterns, the way they rhyme, they were way ahead of everybody else because they were rhyming in ways that nobody else was rhyming. And this was in the fucking 80s. The 80s. Maybe in the early. When did Black Bastards come out? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I figure B would know, but yeah. It doesn't matter. Either way, it was the fucking 80s. And the fact that dudes are still trying to keep up with Doom in 2015, 2016, that means something. I don't think many people can rhyme the way Doom rhymes. And it could be the same situation you're saying, that people just kind of jump on the bandwagon. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you hear, kind of like Kendrick, you hear people say Kendrick is good, so they just say Kendrick is good because mm-hmm. they want to. It might be the same thing with Doom, but when I put a Doom album on, I cannot be less than amazed by the way he rhymes. It's like listening to Ghostface. Like, it's just, nobody sounded like that. And still, nobody sounds like Doom. When Doom comes on a record, it's like, okay, that's Doom.
You know
that's Doom. Because nobody can rhyme like that. It's almost like he's sitting there with a fucking dictionary and a thesaurus, and he's just... and he's just going off.
Playing
he's
off like, words.
Yeah, just playing off words in the most creative way possible. But that's the way I look at Doom.
When Matt Villeneuve came out, I think that kind of took him to a whole nother level too, right? I think there is a level of maybe bandwagon, you know, that's associated with that. I think, and I think that's why, to answer the question, why a lot of people answer the question about, just in general, about J Dilla and Matt Dilla, is because of the hype behind it, this internet era where there's people who are saying these are bona fide classics, this, that, and the others, and people are just, you know, automatically saying that, oh yeah, Matt Villainy, this, that, and the other, and that Doom period. For me, it's just, I think, you know, it's pretty much, you guys are pretty much standing, it's just the uniqueness of him as an artist, and just his placement in rap, you know, because when you listen to him, and like a lot of the stuff, some of the stuff that he's saying, you know, you're like, well, what is he really trying to say there? Or, you know what I'm saying, you're trying to kind of decipher and decode it to a certain degree, and maybe there really isn't anything to decode, you know what I'm saying, and pick apart. So for me, it's just, you know, it's the different personalities he has and all these different things that he pulls into him that kind of makes him unique, and the different albums and stuff and the product that he put out. So for me, that's one of the things that pulls me into Doom. Doom, sorry.
Let me ask you this, like, like you said, the different personalities. I know he has like 5-6 different names. So does he rhyme differently on those different names?
Not
or
really.
Is,
music,
do y'all notice
the
that
music itself is just is what, and the concepts are different.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's rhyming basically the same. It's like Kool Keith, because he's mm-hmm. another one that was from the 80s.
Ooh,
you know, Kool Keith, MF Doom, and G-Rap, those are the three guys that are dudes that were ahead of their time with rapping. Kool Keith does the exact same thing. He has 25 different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
The rhyming is basically the same. It's just they're rhyming about different things. You know, when you, like I said, when you put a Doom album on, you know it's Doom. No matter what he's calling himself at that moment, you know it's Doom. Not many rappers can really do that, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Not many rappers are that creative, I don't think, either. The only thing I would get, you know, would say bothers me about Doom is he needs to stop this shit with these imposters.
Mm.
So Doom, if you're watching that, don't do that shit again. Because the one time I saw you, I was mad as fuck.
Like, if he's...
He wears a mask on stage, so you can't tell who it is.
Yeah.
And he played in Atlanta some years ago. They say he got to be in the video or whatever. He played in Atlanta some years ago. I'm still mad about this shit. We all paid our money, waited till like 2 o'clock in the morning for him to play, and it was not him.
How did you verify it wasn't him?
I'm trying to remember. I think what it was is either he wouldn't talk into the microphone, or when he did talk into the microphone, it sounded way different than what it sounded when he was rhyming. Mm. And you could tell it was a track. But anyway you look at it, we knew it was him. I walked off. I was like, this is bullshit. I'm not watching this.
So traditional. After I left, like, he performs with masks on?
He always performs with a mask.
Okay.
He
and always then, performs like, with people try to copy him.
No, it's not that. He doesn't want to perform live, so he sends people in his place.
That's
just wearing the mask. Yeah. But they fucking trashed his shit. They took all his merch. Yeah, they ran off his fucking promoters and shit because that was bullshit. He needs to stop doing that. He's too good to be doing shit like that.
So why doesn't he just perform himself?
No one really knows. Some people say he's sick and he can't perform live. But if that's the case, he needs to go ahead and just say that.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing holding me back from really loving Doom as much as I want to. That will always stick in my mind. The one time I stayed up on a work night to see Doom, and this motherfucker wasn't even there.
But you know, I never grew up on them. I never, you know, was really a big fan of Doom. Like with J Dilla, I'm finding more and more songs that I like that, you know what I'm saying, that was produced by him that I didn't even know. So what producers is a little bit different, like strictly producers, because sometimes you don't even know, like your favorite jam might be produced by J Dilla, you never knew. So for me, you know, here and there I find out, but for the most part, for both of those guys, I really don't know what their influence in hip hop is. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not gonna be out here and pose and be like, oh, you know, they're the greatest. I just know that they're influential based off of you guys and other people, other super hip hop heads that are into those two guys. But for me personally, you know, I never, like, none of their stuff really made me, you know, so never moved me like that. Like Dilla, again, is a little bit different because I'm, again, still finding out songs that I'm like, oh shit, I know he made that. But MF Doom, I really don't have nothing to say about
it. So with that said, like, did you have like the same question as him? Like, yo, like, what is it? Like, why is, you know?
Well, I think because we did do an MF Doom review some years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, JJ Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, I never heard somebody like so scattered like that. Like that was completely different from anything I've ever heard. So I could see his uniqueness. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you even want to copy that? You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to be a direct like you can't. There can't be another one. Like, he is completely distinctive. So I think that that's the main thing I pulled away from him. In hip hop, the most influential guys don't sound like anybody else. They establish themselves, and this is my sound, this is who I am. And I think that that's what MF Doom was able to do with his career, just like Dilla, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's where their influence comes in.
So thank you, David, for your question. Don't forget to send all of your questions to ask@deadandhiphop.com or our Twitter, AskDEHH. We just started a Snapchat, so follow us, Dead and Hip Hop. Can you be
running pushing that Snapchat, that? Boy.
Oh, you know. Until next time, we will see you guys later. Thank you so much for watching. See you later. Bye.